The United States is not at war, but we are engaged in what the Pentagon now calls low-intensity conflict. It's a pretty recent expression coined to describe our involvement in contemporary, unconventional types of low-level warfare, in which we neither declare war nor send troops. Typically, these conflicts occur in third-world countries on the verge of or just following a revolution. Peter Kornbluh is co-editor of a new book of essays called Low-Intensity Warfare. The book traces the history of low-intensity warfare and brings the issue out of the military boardrooms into the public arena. I asked Peter Kornbluh to explain the term low-intensity warfare.
It is a different kind of war, a war not defined as war, whereby the troops are unconventional forces, covert operatives, reformists, technicians, agronomists, CIA personnel, Pentagon special operations forces, people who you don't see engaging in open warfare, but are actually engaged in somewhat more under-the-table covert warfare.
So this is a low-intensity warfare that usually takes place at a time when we're theoretically at peace.
That's right. It's a type of war which the Reagan administration sees going on in all parts of the world right now. Supporting the Contras is, in their definition, a form of low-intensity warfare. That is not to say that it is low-intensity inside Nicaragua or low-intensity inside El Salvador, but for the United States, it is not the type of war that is broadcast on our television sets every night. It is not the type of war where we see U.S. troops being deployed, body bags coming home. And that definition, for the Reagan administration, it is a low-level war.
How do you think low-intensity warfare fits into the Reagan doctrine of rolling back communism?
Well, that is the pro-insurgency side of low-intensity warfare. The Reagan doctrine is a doctrine that essentially calls for across-the-board support for insurgency movements in Cambodia, Nicaragua, Afghanistan, in Africa, etc. This has become a doctrine. It is symbolized by the debate over support for the Contras in Nicaragua, but is really in some ways 50% of what the Pentagon sees as its task now, and what the Reagan administration sees as its task in fostering low-intensity wars in the Third World.
Are priorities within the military being reevaluated in the light of low-intensity conflict?
Well, they are indeed. As one proponent of low-intensity warfare recently said, when he started pushing this issue 5 years ago, there was only him and several other people. Now there are 500 or 600 Pentagon officials working on low-intensity warfare. Oliver North, before he was fired from the National Security Council, actually held the title of director of the Counterterrorism and Low-Intensity Warfare Group in the National Security Council.
One of the goals, the way I understand it, of low-intensity warfare is to represent our interests in third-world countries without having the conflict ever expand into a full-scale war, without having to send American troops to that country. Now, that sounds like a real advantage of low-intensity warfare. American troops aren't there.
Well, You know, I'm a little concerned that I might come across as an advocate of low-intensity warfare here, and I'm not. Our book is designed to show what the costs and perils of fighting these types of wars are. Vietnam is a classic case. We started with a very low-level presence, covert operations, very similar to what we're doing in Central America today. And it quickly escalated into the tragedy that we now know as Vietnam. We really need to evaluate why we are conducting these policies. Do we need to be supporting the Contras in Nicaragua? Do we need to be bolstering the government in El Salvador? What are the costs to us and the pros and cons of this? But so far, this debate over low-intensity warfare has taken place in the halls of the Pentagon. It's between traditionalists, traditionalist military strategists, and kind of the new generation of low-intensity warriors in the Pentagon. It really hasn't been brought to a broad public forum, which is why we decided to do this book.
Since in countries where we're involved with low-intensity warfare, there aren't American troops, do you think that the public has been more cut off from the conflict, not as engaged in public debate about it, because our family members, our friends, are not being sent off to those wars?
Well, I think that's precisely the advantage that the Reagan administration sees for waging this kind of war, is that it can avoid the tremendous debate that there would be over the open deployment of troops in any third world setting. But one of the dangers of this is, of course, is that we start low level and it escalates. We get into situations like Nicaragua, where all of a sudden, you know, our honor is on the line, our commitment is on the line, and we really can't withdraw. The Middle East is a classic example of the perils and dangers. Here's a situation where we get involved in low-level conflict using military force, not in full deployment, but as a kind of psychological operation. And we come up against countries who are much different from the countries in the 50s and 60s in the third world. Countries like Iran and Iraq, which have very modern technology, which can strike quickly and cause the death of American lives. It's a much different situation now. It's going to be a much more protracted conflict. And we have seen in the Iran-Contra scandal how fighting these types of low-level wars can come back to haunt our own domestic political institutions. And this is a very important point to consider as well.
What are the other lessons you think that the Iran-Contra scandal have shown about low-intensity warfare?
One of the components of low-intensity warfare, which you see in all the Pentagon reports, is dealing with the issue of political dissent in the United States and dealing with controlling the media. One of the strategies that the Reagan administration has brought to the fore is an attempt to, a very concrete institutional attempt to manipulate the hearts and minds of the American public, not just the hearts and minds of our targets abroad. And Oliver North actively pursued this. He oversaw an office in the State Department called the Office of Public Diplomacy, which had both an above-board task of attempting to manipulate information that went to the press and a covert psychological operation being waged in the United States. This has been documented by Congress, by the documents that have come out of the Iran-Contra investigation. This is a part of low-intensity warfare, and it certainly is its the scariest part vis-a-vis the concerns of the American public.
There are wars and revolutions happening around the world. Some of them are low-intensity. Some of them are full-fledged, full-scale war. But there's no fighting in our streets. There's no bombing in our neighborhoods. Is it historically typical or unusual to have the degree of conflict internationally that we're experiencing now?
I don't think it's particularly atypical because there's always been conflict, particularly in the post-war period. What is atypical is the activist, interventionist policy of the U.S. government. And the United States is, in many regions, fostering this turmoil where this turmoil might not otherwise exist. In the case of Nicaragua and the Contras would not be a force today had not the United States created them in 1981 and sent hundreds of millions of dollars to keep them going and indeed logistically run their war up until this month when Contra aid is supposed to run out.
Let me ask you, I think a lot of Americans are aware of many of the conflicts that come under the heading of low-intensity warfare, though many Americans have never heard that expression before. Do you think that having that expression, like understanding the concept and knowing the word for it, will help frame a public debate about the subject?
Well, I hope so, and that's why Michael Clare and I have decided to do this book, and hopefully the book will be used to foster that debate. Because until we get the word out, until people are informed about what the Pentagon intends to do, we can't really have an honest and full debate over where our country is going. If you take us back, 28 years now, and if we had had the debate and the knowledge in this country about what John F. Kennedy called his counterinsurgency doctrine, we might have avoided how we got into Vietnam and the loss of 50,000 American lives there. There are many, many reasons why we should conduct a full and open debate about where we are going to be going, about how to arrive at peace rather than to pursue war in the third world.
Peter Kornbluh, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Peter Kornbluh is co-editor of Low Intensity Warfare, published by Pantheon. This is Fresh Air.